Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, it's Niler Nine and Andrea Cleary, and you're listening to the Niler Nine podcast. Hello, Andrea Cleary.
Hi, Niler Nine, Nile Byrne.
Pointing at you, pointing at me. How are you doing? Everybody good? Everybody good out there? Everyone doing all right? How are you doing? You can respond to us if you like. We will hear you. We are always listening. But what we are always listening to is music and new music. And this is our monthly best of the month, best tracks of the month, best albums of the month, stuff that we've been listening to, stuff that we are vibing with. Always a fun time. And you seem to like this too, listener, because it is generally a popular listen that we do every month. So if you've never listened to it before, myself and Andrea are going to play some songs, talk about some songs, talk about some albums, and we're going to ping pong back and forward with music recommendations. As simple as that. That's what we're going to do.
It's that easy.
It is that easy. Like, as easy as pressing play on a record, which we did last night in The Big Romance. Oof. For Portishead's Dummy Listening Party. It was a great time. It was a lovely time. I had a lovely time. Did you have a nice time?
I had a really lovely time. Everyone was very nice. It was a particularly lovely group of people. It was the exact amount of people that makes the room very comfy and vibey, and everyone was very polite and friendly, and that's to me what makes a successful event. So yeah, thanks so much everyone for coming and for bringing along some people, and thank you as always to Dimitri, who is from the Discord, who has yet to miss a listening party. Always there with a smile on his face and always lovely to see him. So shout out to him.
For sure. He's been at all five so far.
It was a lovely evening, and we did announce last night our next listening party, which will take place on the last Wednesday of next month, which is Niall, the 24th
of April.
Thank you. 24th of April. And this will be my choice, and the album will be Fiona Apple's debut album title. So keep an eye out on Niall's socials for tickets and the like. They're not up yet, but I'm sure they will be in time. And there will be, in the month of April, an episode dedicated to kind of Fiona Apple more broadly, and that album in particular that will be led by me because it's my choice. So that's next month. Pencil in.
99.eventbrite.com is where we eventually put those tickets in the next 2 weeks. And you can find them there. So that'll happen at The Big Romance, April 24th. That'll be our sixth Listen Closely party.
6 months.
6 months in. So been going really well. So enjoying it. It's a nice way, in a way, like we always talked about maybe like, oh, should we do live podcasts and stuff? But just never really, really made sense to me the same way that it, like maybe it does for some other people where like, you know, We're not looking to sell out Vicker Street or anything like that. Although, I don't think we could.
If you are from Vicker Street, get in touch. I'd just like to go up on the stage once. I just want to see what
we can make that happen for you, Andrea. We can make that happen. We can do a live podcast in Vicker Street when no one is there, if you like.
Ideal. That's my dream. That's my dream live podcast. Because whenever we've talked about live podcasts in the past, I'm like, oh yeah, I'd love that. But like, do people have to come? I don't want that. I just want it to be me and you in like a different scenario. Different.
Yeah. Okay.
Like we'll location. Like a live podcast in the woods. Like, I don't see why people aren't doing that.
Do you want to do a live podcast in the woods?
We will have to consult Georgia, who produces the podcast and who edits it.
Well, it's like nice ambience. If you're having a purely speculative, non-technical podcast, you can certainly sit on a park bench like your man Adam Buxton and have a chat with people. Jesus, I listened back to a podcast I did during lockdown where I literally talked for like 15 minutes or 20 minutes while I was sitting in a park in Stephen's Green. I was going, this is mad. What was I doing?
No one knew what they were doing.
But it was a strange time. It was a strange time for all of us. But we're hoping not to have a strange time now, because what we'd like to do is recommend you some music. And, it's a very busy time at the moment. It's always a very busy time. I find March, April is when it really ramps up in terms of new releases. So surprisingly for me this month, I don't have any albums really that I can truly recommend. I have a lot of albums I've been listening to this month, but really there's not one I can go, right, that's definitely... I just haven't had a chance to listen to an album more than once, unless it was an album I already knew and doesn't fit the bill for this monthly podcast. So I think you should start, because I think you've got something substantial to start with and you've got an album to start with. So let's start with yourself.
Breaking from kind of usual trends on these episodes in which you tend to talk about albums, I tend to talk about songs. I am talking about two albums today, the first of which is from Waxahachie. And the name of that album is Tiger's Blood. Here is a song from it called Right Back to It, featuring MJ Lenderman. Peace of mind, I get ahead of myself. For a bombshell, your love's written on a blank check, buried around your neck. I was at low, but you come to me on a fault line deep inside a gold mine, hovering like a moth. I lose a bit of myself, laying out eggshells. So long, come right back to it. I let my mind run wild. I don't know why I do it. So this is an album that was released last Friday in what was quite a big day for releases. Katie Crutchfield is Waxahachie.
Great name.
Great name, yeah. She is a singer-songwriter from Alabama, and this is her sixth studio album as Waxahachie. As I said, that song, Right Back to It, features MJ Lenderman of the band Wednesday, but also a singer-songwriter in his own right. He made one of my favorite songs from last year, which is called Fallen. And he plays guitar across this record. So he was invited in to do Right Back to It and then was asked to stay on to record the album with Katie Crutchfield and her producer, Brad Cook. So there's a kind of a new energy that comes from his presence here. I think it's a really lovely dynamic that the two of them have. I think his guitar work across the album really brings a lot to the album. It's pure Americana, really. You can kind of hear it in that song. Her voice suits that style of music really, really well. Her songwriting style suits that kind of music really, really well. And this is a shift that kind of happened for 2020's Saint Cloud, which was her fifth album. She kind of brought things a bit more back to basics in terms of like focusing a bit more on like country style songs and Americana style songs. I think it is a decision that for me personally served her really well, because this is the sound I really like from her. She's done kind of bigger, kind of more pop stuff in the past that, you know, I like, but doesn't land with me the same way. I think that this really, really works for me.
Okay, interesting. Because I wasn't entirely sure if this was always her vibe, because I guess I probably hadn't listened to a lot of the early stuff, or I don't remember it anyway, certainly. Mm.
I think it was always sort of there under the surface, but in terms
of,
like,
it's more obvious now, is it?
Much more obvious now since 2020 on St. Cloud and on Tiger's Blood, which is this album. Yeah, I mean, another song I really like from it is the opening track, Three Sisters. I just think this is a really, really, really strong opener to the record, and it really introduces you to the kind of sounds that you can expect. So this is a song called Three Sisters. Why you would lie, it was never the love you wanted. It's a state of mind you design, you get everything that you want. You might get lost in the moment, take it easy on your opponent. But it plays on my mind how the time passing covers you like a friend. I don't see why you would lie, it was never the love you. It's a state of mind you define, you take anything that you want. So I think you can hear it a little bit there in the part that we played, but the song kind of introduces new instruments as it goes along. It really kind of builds up to a big moment. It's really, really beautiful. And I think it's a good example of what I mean about this album. It's like her ear for melody is really, really strong, and it always has been, but that's a song that I could hear as a much poppier version of itself, and I could hear it working really well as that. But I like it in this kind of guise. I like the really strong melody. I like her. I just think her voice is just so suited to this, and she sounds really beautiful, really wonderful, at points very strong, at other points, you know, very kind of tender throughout the album. I love her voice. I love the melodies. And I just think this is like just a straightforwardly very, very good album. It's a really strong album. I think it might be my favorite of hers so far. It's probably the one I've spent most time with. I really, really liked the 2020 album St. Cloud as well, but this is one that I really feel landed with me in a different way compared to her other stuff. So yeah, highly, highly recommend this. Wouldn't be surprised if I saw it on many a end of year list when the time comes.
I love that song, Three Sisters. I feel like it's really she's on a surge, I think, at the moment. It feels like there's, you know, much greater interest, and people kind of going, hey, Waxahachie's great, did you know that? And everyone's like, yeah, I did know that. So yeah, just really good. It was like when the album came out, there was clearly a lot of anticipation, you know, so yeah, it was good. It's nice to see that, and especially when somebody isn't, you know, on their first album or whatever, and they've been around for a while, and it's like allowing somebody the time to develop a bit more. Like, she's been releasing albums for 12 years now, I think, so you know, it's great.
Yeah,
to see
it. It's so nice to see artists who are making country music they're not expected to. The day that this comes out, Cowboy
Carter. Are
you
referring to something?
I'm very excited for it. But yeah, that's Waxahachie, Tiger's Blood. If you haven't heard it yet, go listen to it. It's very, very nice. I can't imagine a person in my mind who wouldn't enjoy it, basically.
Very good, very good. Speaking of Cowboy Carter and Beyonce, there's, what do you know about it? I've seen, in passing, I see Willie Nelson's on it. There's a cover of Jolene, is there?
I believe so. Cover of Blackbird
as
well.
That's what I saw. And why am I seeing her and Miley Cyrus's name together this week?
I think Miley Cyrus is on the album.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Well, that would explain that. Anyway, that's for another day. But speaking of country. Okay. That's your first album. That's Waxahachie, Tiger's Blood. As I said, I don't have an album as yet, but this is from an album to come. This is from David Kitt's electronic side project, New Jackson. Is it a side project if it's as prolific nearly as his main stuff? Possibly not. But it's coming out on the German label Permanent Vacation, a very good electronic label. The album is called Oops Pop, and it's out on April 19th. What I like about what I'm hearing here so far is there's a greater reach of the kind of stuff that bridges the gap. The last David Kitt album, which was released this time last year, called Idiot Check, had a lot of that kind of bringing in the electronic textures that he does so well with New Jackson, and then bringing it onto the songwriting, traditional songwriting structures that he normally does with David Kitt as David Kitt. So again, it sounds like what we're doing here is the New Jackson stuff has a lot of collaborations. It seems to be a lot more a mix of the two. Like the song I'm about to play is called Out of Reach. You can hear how it's kind of got a bit of that songwriting prowess, but also very much a kind of electronic dance track.
Days that turned you inside out, but left you wanting more. So you're none the wiser now, you've sung a thousand songs. All your vows are broken now that someone great has gone. It's out of reach, out of reach. I can't explain. No sudden reach, sudden reach. No fault to blame, fault to blame.
That was one of the first two tracks that he released from the album this month. It is called Out of Reach, as you might guess. The album features the likes of Yankee, Rita Lynn. Actually, both of those are on the track I'm going to play in a second, which came out last week, which reminds me of Kraftwerk. There's the electronic producer Donica Costello is in there. Richie Egan, aka Jape, is in there. Keane Kavanagh, Margie, Gene Lewis, Meg Cronin, and Feta also contribute. Of Out of Reach, he says it was the last track he wrote for the album. I had a version of the album that I liked, but the whole thing didn't feel quite like Oops or Pop enough. I had the melody and chorus of Out of Reach knocking around for a while. I wrote and recorded the lyrics and vocals in one long session the day before mastering was booked. It gave the album a shot of pop urgency that made it really gel as a whole. I get a mild bang of Jason Donovan off it, but it has a giddy techno-pop sugar rush that I really like, and it makes a worthy addition to the New Jackson canon. And hey, Jason Donovan via Stock Aitken and Waterman is definitely part of my pop musical DNA, so that's Out of Reach. And then this song was released last week, very, very much more woozy Kraftwerk vibes here with Yankee, Graham Cooney, aka Yankee, and Rita Lynn doing these kind of intricate, weird vocals. That is from New Jackson's forthcoming album, Oops Pop. First album as New Jackson since 2017, although he has released a lot of stuff in the meantime, like once-off releases and stuff. So there is lots of New Jackson music to be released. And I said in 2011, 2010, maybe since when he started releasing music, sat around here waiting, and then The Night Mail and all that kind of stuff. Really, really great music. And, you know, he's a very prolific Irish artist, and, you know, I think there's a lot to be recommended there still. Can often be forgotten about in terms of, you know, one of Ireland's like current great like songwriters and producers. And he kind of does his own thing in a lot of ways. And I really like this. I think it's really great. I think it's my vibe for sure. So because you've got a couple of albums picked, I'm going to pair it with a song, kind of more of a bit of a similar vibe, but not really. It's an artist called Tatiana. Now, this is an album that came out last Friday. The album's called It's Over. She's a UK artist, previously released a debut album, which was co-produced with Metronomy's Joan Mount. And for this second one, Tatiana took control of every aspect of the creation, produced alongside Miko Gordon. And it's a really fun, nice, not deep pop music, electronic pop music album. It certainly grabbed my ears last week, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of it. This is a song from it called the title track. It's called It's Over from Tatiana. Yeah, some of that record now, I've only had a brief listen really, but it really grabbed me in terms of its nice melodies and hooks and good decent production. Well, it reminds me a lot of Georgia as well, Georgia's first album. So you can hear a lot of parallels there in that. So, Andrea, your choice. What are you going to show us next?
What I'm going to show next was a very, very kind of excitable and long-awaited album for many people in circles similar to mine. It is the sixth studio album from lead singer of Big Thief, Adrian Lenker, long awaited by me and lots of other people, but mostly me. Adrian plays Dublin's Vicar Street on the 21st of April. That gig is now sold out. And the album is called Bright Future. And this also came out last Friday alongside Waxahachie. And it sort of, oh God, I have so much to say about this album. I kind of don't even really know where to start. It's vibe-wise, I suppose, it maintains that kind of like flash in the pan, like in the moment recording vibe of her previous albums and a good amount of like Big Thief's discography in that, like, you can really feel like you're in the room with the musicians as they are recording. Like, there's some moments in the album where she'll like move away from the mic and then move back in, and it can really like draw your attention to the space of the room. And I think that that's always something that she, whether solo or with her band, has done really well. Like, she makes it clear to you, and this is pointed out in the Pitchfork review of the album, that this is how these songs exist at this moment in time, and it might not necessarily be how they will always exist or how they always have existed, but on this day, in this place, this is how they exist. And I thought that was a really nice thing that the writer of that review pointed out. I don't have their name to hand. And it's basically, it's her and a very small band. The band are Nick Hakem, Josephine Rustin, Matt Davidson, Philip Winerobe, and Noah Lenker, who is her brother. And they all, with the exception of Noah, who sticks with the drums, they all sort of like pass around their instruments. It's very kind of like shared between piano, vocals, violin, electric guitar, and acoustic guitar, is and banjo are kind of the main instruments used throughout the album. And it begins, I mean, you kind of can't talk about the album without talking about the opener. It begins with a kind of a strange opener for an album, which is a song called Real House, which is a piano sort of ballad centered around a series of vignettes from her childhood with no chorus that explores her relationship with her mother and to a lesser extent with her father. But, you know, family growing up, not living in a quote unquote real house, and then finally moving into a real house. There's some really beautiful lines in that song about the first film that made her scared as a child, which was actually Deep Impact. And the line in it is, I thought of this whole world ending. I thought of dying unprepared. And this idea of the world ending is something that will come up later in the album as well. But then it ends with the image of the family gathered around their dog and having to put the dog down. And that being the moment that she first sees her mother cry. And it's a really, like, it's quite, I don't know if intense is the right word, but it's an incredibly moving song. It's a song that you would expect to be like eighth on an album of like 10 tracks, like a kind of a deep into the album. You've already kind of settled in. You're already sort of used to the themes, but she really just comes out the gate with this song. And it's a strange decision. I don't know if I like the decision that she made there or not, but it is certainly surprising. My only worry about it is that if I recommend this album to people, that they will listen to that first song and think, oh no, this is a bit too intense for me, or it's a bit too sad for me, because the whole album doesn't really maintain that sense of intensity throughout it. There are moments, but it's not this very intense thing for the whole album. But yeah, there's also obviously the singles, Ruined, Sadness as a Gift, and Fool, which I think we've talked about them on this podcast, maybe not all three of them, but certainly two of three of them. And they fit really
Fool, I think.
Yeah, Fool. They fit really, really beautifully on the record. We won't play them here because I'm sure people are already very familiar with them. And there is a potentially early, or maybe just, it's definitely an alternative recording of the song Vampire Empire, which was a kind of a Big Thief lore song. It was played live at some shows, and then it was played on a US talk show, and that version of the song became the canonized version of the song. And then they released the song not as part of an album, just kind of on its own. So there are already two sort of canonized versions of the song out there already. And now there is this third version, which is driven by acoustic guitars, piano, and violin. And it's a very different Vampire Empire than what we're kind of used to hearing. It's maybe a little bit jarring when you first hear it, especially if you're used to the Big Thief versions. But I think how kind of raw and ramshackle it is, how the melody is a little bit different, how the percussion is a little bit different, makes it really, really beautiful and raw. So here's a little bit of Adrian Lenker's Vampire Empire.
TV tired, bleeding on the bed. The milk is just expired, all the leaves are dead. I'm not quiet, you've been quiet, just receiving what you said. Reeling, feeding, feeling filled by everything you fed. I see you as you see yourself through all the books you read. Overwhelmed with guilt and realizing the disease. You give me chills, I've had it with the chills.
Just gives the impression of like a kind of a hoedown, kind of impromptu session, you know.
Impromptu session is how the whole album kind of sounds. It was recorded directly to tape, which was the same with her last album as well. And in this one, yeah, it really does sound like it's all the band together playing at once. It sounds very impromptu. Friend of the podcast, Alan McGuire, said to me that the songs, or that she writes in a way that makes you think that she's making up the song as she goes along, or that it's kind of coming to her as it goes along. And I think that's a really apt kind of description of how this album feels. It feels like improvisation, and a lot of it is improvisation. They recorded it in this like small studio in the woods, and she didn't listen to anything until the band had kind of gone away, and then she listened back to the tapes to see what they sounded like. And from what I can tell, those tapes are what we get here. Like the album is mastered, it is mixed and all of that, but it is kind of as raw an album as you can kind of get. And that's really, really rewarding. Like I love how Vampire Empire sounds on the record. It took me a listen to get my head around it at first. And then once I started listening to it as its own song, or its own iteration of that song, I was like, oh, I could love this as much as I love the other ones. And like, you know, there's not many bands out there that will release three versions of the same song and have me still interested in hearing that song. But it's just a testament to like what she can do with arrangement and what she can do with her voice and how the particulars of the recording environment can change how a song feels to a listener and what parts of the song that you connect with. And I think she's really, really attuned to that kind of thing. And yeah, so there's another song on it that I love as well called Evil. It's spelled E-V-O-L, which is love backwards. And she does something really interesting kind of lyrically on this song where she explores phonetic palindromes. So words that have meanings like backwards and forwards, like evil sounding like the word evil and that being a palindrome of love. And she kind of plays with this idea throughout the song. There's lyrics on it: teach, cheat, part, trap, you have my heart, I want it back, God, dog, devil, lived, the giver takes, the taker gives. And it's a really, really beautiful piano driven song, so here's a little bit of that. I feel like in that song, there's something kind of revealed about her that maybe we haven't heard before. Like when we talk about Adrian Lenker, I think first and foremost, we tend to talk about her songwriting, and then we tend to talk about her musicianship and how, like, what a master of guitar playing she is. And her lyrics are kind of maybe like the third thing that we talk about, because a lot of them on Big Thief records and even on some of her solo records are very much to do with like the natural world. They're also to do with relationships and family. But what's, I think, revealed here is her real deep kind of interest in language. And I think that we're getting a bit of an insight into how she likes to experiment with language and how she likes to think about words and be quite particular and specific about the words that she uses. So there is, of course, this kind of meta commentary about language and how it can harm people and its power. But there's also something quite playful in, you know, bearing witness to her like toy around with words in this way and kind of pick them apart and use words as opposed to her musicianship as like the building blocks of a song. And I think that's really, really interesting. I thought that was a really nice insight that we kind of haven't really got from her before. And then the last song from the album that I want to play is one of my favorite songs. It was one of the songs that just like kind of hit me the most. It is one that is about the end of the world. So we're kind of returning back to that idea from the first song. And kind of coupled with the end of a relationship. It's called Donut Seam, D-O-N-U-T-S-E-A-M, a play on Don't It Seem. And I think this song has like really, really, really beautiful harmonies in the chorus. So if you could skip in maybe a little bit, maybe to about halfway into the song, you can really hear how she's working with the other vocalists in the room. It's beautiful.
Everyone is burned up in the flame. Now it's pouring acid rain, and this whole world is dying. Don't it seem like a good time for swimming before all the water disappears? Now our love is dying. Don't it seem like a good time for kissing? One more kiss. this to last the years.
There's something in that that reminded me of the most recent Sufjan Stevens album, actually. Just in that song in particular. But yeah, I just think it's sort of, she kind of leans into beautiful harmonies in a way that we haven't really heard her do that before. And again, you can really feel everybody in the room all being recorded onto the same tape. It feels very, you know, live and improvised and of the moment, and kind of like it's capturing a moment. And I think that works really, really well. I already know this is going to be one of my favorite albums this year. I've already listened to it, I don't know how many times, and I keep finding new things to love about it. It's only been out a week, and I just don't think that there's anyone else out there right now with the sheer like versatility and musicianship and poetic style and authenticity that Adrian Lenker has. And I think this is a really revealing and rewarding and personal album from one of her generation's most prolific and accomplished artists. Like she astounds me. Everything she does, I'm so impressed by, and I find her really, really like inspirational. And yeah, I just love her, and I love this album, and I really hope that people don't get put off by the first song, even though the first song is really beautiful. That's not what the whole album sounds like. So you don't need to be in that very, very sad space to get through the album. But yeah, that is Adrian Lenker, Bright Future. Yeah, I think she has a bright future. I think she's going places, this Adrian girl. She's got something.
Her immediate future, I'm going to take the mic down as well for this section. Yeah. Her immediate future is 3 gigs in Ireland, Friday 19th of April in Galway, the Black Box. Saturday 20th in St. Canice's Cathedral in Kilkenny.
Oh, that would be
Dublin,
amazing.
Sunday, April 21st. So that'll be nice. So that's 3 fine gigs, and that's Adrian Lenker's course. Of course. I mean, I said it to you in advance. I mean, I can predict the albums you picked.
Yeah.
That's just because I know you so well. I knew you would pick these two, Waxahachie and Adrian Lenker. But that's on point for you.
My girlies
for sure.
Are girlying, and what can I say? I'm here.
Well, another set of musicians who have a very bright future ahead. Something very unique happened in Ireland last week. Did you cop this last Friday? The Irish album that went to number one last week, it was the first homegrown Irish rap album to go to number one. So that's from Travis and Els. Their album called Doghouse was released the previous Friday. And they've been making like drill and kind of rap music for the last 3 years, probably like definitely during the pandemic. I saw them in the Button Factory at one of the, I think it was a pod gig, maybe. It was a seated thing. It was really weird. Around that time, we go, that's that time again. But I saw them around then and was like, been following them ever since. There's a collective called Gliders. They are young Dublin black Irish rappers who are making these really like amazing, cool songs. I think the album really is called Doghouse. It really cements where they're at. They previously went to number two with their mixtape last year called Full Circle. Now, I don't know how the charts in Ireland works anymore, and I don't know how this is calculated, but fair play to them for doing this. But I just wanted to shout that out because it's actually really unique and something that's never happened before. And for once, you know, like I don't pay attention to the charts much. I don't write about the charts much, but I found this really interesting because I think these lads are really good, and they're doing things on their own terms, and they're not getting played on the radio as far as I can tell. Blockbuster is the opening track from Doghouse. It's not the opening track. It was the first single released, but there is Cello features on this, Monjola, Reggie as well. But it's about, the production is really good. It kind of less like, there's been a lot of drill music that's come out of Ireland the last few years from Drogheda and places like that. So, but like the thing that you've heard is they've all kind of have the same vibe. And I think what Travis and Els are doing here is kind of bringing back some of that regular, like old school, not old school, but like rap style, but also bringing some of the drill in, but not going too far in one direction and making this sound really good. So this is their track Blockbuster from Doghouse.
Man, it's on to the next if the Swiss don't beat. Tell me what you want, man, I need more door money. Rush to the bank like it's World War 3. I don't understand why this world's so peak. Got me feeling like Pac with his eyes on me. Turn a white chick to a chocolate, darling, pardon. She like the culture of me. Yo, this is just me to a T. Ain't nobody backing your beef, my bro. It's too late, cause it's cooked, my bro. I was just asking a simple question. Don't fuck till said he don't know. I'm in a man's time to spend on these hoes. Fucking on BB's one of my goals. I don't really fuck with them BBLs, even though everybody loves Ruby Rose. Crazy, this nigga still talking. Brave man, dead man, see what's like to be a great man. They say I got a galley addiction, that's too much DBE or Dave. My waist, man, call in my line, please save my situations, got I'm feeling confused. If I punch you in the face right now, post up, I get a million views. I ain't dashing a single fuck, nah. For your bitch, I'll toss it. See right now, man's moving toxic. I get broke, bitch, elevate then drop it. I might go stick, come back and fuck it. Even though bro, she ain't not a brock it. Look, she's still a hot topic, but just like that, you know how to block it. Who's that on the block? I don't know what you thought. Are you tapped or what? I ain't dashing a single fuck. Crazy, I swear you were chatting like a typo, he's not backtracking. Didn't plan on having a slump it, but she's here right now, so fuck it. Who's that on the block?
I don't know what you thought. Are you tapped or what? I ain't dashing a single fuck.
So that's Travis and L's album's called Doghouse. There's certainly a lot of crossover kind of stuff maybe happening there as well. So they've done really well in Ireland. So interesting to see where that goes. Along with that, my other track I wanted to recommend is a funny one at first, because when I first heard it, I was like, hey, this band sound exactly like that other band, and I don't know if I'm okay with that. But as it's happened, this song has just kind of wormed its way into my brain. And the band in question are a band called Glass Beams. They sound a lot like another band called Crangbin, who are supremely popular now, so popular now that they're playing the Three Arena later this year, which is kind of crazy. They're a Texas trio that would have started out playing in Ireland in the Workman's Club, right? So this is a dream for promoters, right? You know, all of a sudden they're playing in the Three Arena and everyone wants to see them. And what their music is instrumental Texas kind of psychedelic stuff with nods to Asian kind of Middle Eastern melodies. And in a way, what you're hearing here in Glass Beams sounds almost like exactly the same. Although, in fairness to them, this is a band from Melbourne who's, you know, all of that kind of vibe of the South Asian Indian heritage stuff and psychedelia comes from the founding member Rajan Silva, who kind of learned about all this music from his father when they emigrated to Melbourne, and learned about his dad's like music collection growing up in India in the 70s and stuff like this. So he kind of learned a lot of this kind of music, talking about like sitar playing, like Ravi Shankar, of course, and all of this kind of, you know, Western meets Eastern kind of stringed Indian music and sitar stuff. So there's some of that in there. And then there's artists called Ordi Burman and Ananda Shankar also recommended or referenced in Name Checked in regards to Glass Beams. I think there's just a lot of interest in this kind of music at the moment. Let's play it and then I'll say the rest. Yeah, let's play it. Yeah, you can hear the kind of Indian influence there. You can also hear a lot of, as I said, very close, and some have said carbon copy to Crangbin, and I totally get that. Band are doing really, they're doing numbers, basically. They've signed to Ninja Tune, they're selling out, they're doing loads of shows. There's a real appetite for this stuff at the moment, and I think that's really interesting to me. Like, why exactly? They're playing all together now this summer, this band, Glass Beams, so... Yeah, a new enough band. I mean, they literally only released their new EP last week. And it's unusual these days to have a band that really haven't had many releases, like, suddenly blow up like this. They had, like, they had an EP in 2021, and then that's three songs, and now they have a four-track, five-track EP, and all of a sudden, these seven, eight songs are absolutely massive. And anyway, I just think it's interesting, and, you know, it's very pleasant music in a way. It's very much background music, right? So it's like music, probably a lot of people are listening to this while they're doing other things, but I think it's,
I don't know,
it's really nice, and it stuck to me a lot more
does
than
it
I thought
only
it would.
Feel like background music because it's instrumental, like, I think,
no,
that
I wouldn't say,
quite
no
engaging.
I don't think I wouldn't say that, like, instrumental music isn't, but no, certainly instrumental music is more likely to be used or listened to in that in that way, you know what I mean? So, but anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I wasn't sure if I was going to pick it, and then I decided today, I was like, yeah, I'll go with this because it's interesting to me, and it's genuinely, they're genuinely a new enough band, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is, and, like, I spent all my time listening to music and listening to stuff that comes in, and sure, I feature a lot of new Irish music these days, but probably harder for stuff like international stuff to break through at the moment, unless there's a gig around it. I did hear another band this week, actually, it's sort of a similar vein. I'll play a bit of it because they are actually, I think they're coming here to play Another Love Story. And I think there's a similar vibe to these guys. They're from Australia. They're called Mild Life. And I like, again, I like, it's easy listening. This is a song called Yourself. And yeah, I dug this as well. Fantastic life. Turned in one within another. And I'm looking to find if I know. You know what that is?
What?
Yacht rock, basically.
That to me is way more vibe. Background music than the Glass Beams one that you played. I was more compelled by the Glass Beams one. That one was maybe a bit more rooted in, like,
I mean,
jazz,
it doesn't exactly
like using kind of like jazz chords rather than like Eastern or Indian stuff. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's their third album. It's prog disco is what it's called sometimes, but
sure.
I'm hearing a bit of yacht rock there. But anyway, that was a song. That was a song I liked. I wasn't gonna play that one at all, but I just felt like Australian band, similar vibe. The easy listening thing is there, and not the most. Is it probably the worst band name you've ever heard?
Mild Life.
I don't know, it's just like, I mean, am I missing something? It seems like I do like that song. I do.
Niall, this is the best music of the month. I just want to remind you, this is our opportunity to talk about the best music of the month. And I'm not saying this isn't the best music of the month.
I'm having a playlist crisis as we speak.
But I'm saying that you seem unconvinced that this is the best.
I shouldn't be talking about this music.
No, you shouldn't. But it's fine. But it's important to pay attention or to pay tribute to bands that are just fine.
No, it's not. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, well, then let's take them on the playlist. Can we move on to some good music?
It's middling. Okay. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Sorry for that. Neither nines. But that's how the brain works sometimes.
Mid music of the month.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's fine. It's fine. I have a couple more that I'd rather share with you later. So, but in the meantime, you're gonna play a future pop classic, are you?
Yeah. I'm going to play two versions of a future pop classic. Charlie XCX is readying herself to release a new album. I don't know when. Actually, I didn't see what date it was. But
I think it's May.
Is it May? Is
that soon? I think so.
Yeah. So she has released a song from her upcoming sixth studio album, Brat, called Von Dutch, which pays homage to one of the greatest or worst fashion trends of the 2000s, depending on who you ask, the Von Dutch baseball caps. But it's also about being braggadocious. It's okay to just admit that you're jealous of me is a lyric from it, and having fun. And it's all hyper pop and really, really fun. So here is the song proper, and then we will discuss a remix. This is Von Dutch.
I'm just
going
to put my
XCX.
Hand up and say, this song is indie sleaze to me, right?
Okay.
Electro indie sleaze. All right, here we go. Von
Let's
Dutch,
do it.
Charlie XCX.
It's okay to just admit that you're jealous of me. Yeah, I heard you talk about me. That's the word on the street. You're obsessing, just confess it, put your hands up. It's obvious on your number one. It's all right to just admit that I'm a fantasy. You're obsessing, just confess it, cause it's obvious on your number one.
So yeah, that's indie sleaze to me. Indie sleaze is back, man.
That's why
we're doing a indie sleaze club night on Sunday May 5th, bank holiday. We're at it again.
Is it sold out?
God no.
Where can people get their
super
tickets?
Super away for that. Niler9.eventbrite.com.
Excellent.
Indie sleaze party. Bank holiday Sunday. Workman's cellar. Thank you.
Okay, back to Charlie XCX. Along with the single came a remix, which is what I actually heard first, featuring Addison Rae. And if we listen to it from around the 125 mark, Niall,
yeah,
she just does a really great scream in it that I really like. And
I saw this on
bangers and bangers
Instagram or TikTok. I'm not sure where. Anyway, this is a scream. Scream mix.
That life. I'm just living that life. I'm just living that life.
How do you find out you do that kind of screaming?
I don't know. It feels like something that you find out like on the day when you give it a go. It's really, really, really awesome. Yeah, I really like it.
It's kind of like Mariah Carey levels of, you know,
it's using your head voice.
Tone.
Is that what it's called? It's like a whistle note. That's what it's called when Mariah does it. But yeah, I really like this remix. I really like the original song. You know that I've not always been Charlie's like bestie, but I've always at least admired what she's doing. Like, I think she's, you know, one of the most influential.
She's interesting.
Pop stars.
She makes interesting music. She makes great pop music most of the time. She makes fun music.
Yes, she does. I think she's very, very influential also. And I think there are a lot of artists who are out making music today who wouldn't sound the way that they do without Charlie XCX, in the same way that Charlie XCX wouldn't sound the way that she does without Peaches and Uffy and artists like that. So she's really kind of continuing on like a kind of a pop electronic music kind of like fusion where like women can have a lot of fun, both as artists and as fans. So yeah, I really like this. I am looking forward to the album more so than I have looked forward to albums of hers in the past. I think maybe the older I'm getting, the more I'm getting into Charlie. And I think that's fine. Charlie XCX, that is, not cocaine. So what have you got up next, Niall?
Okay. Well, speaking of hyperpop, let's stay in that lane. I'm messing with the playlist. I'm messing with the program. Why not play this? Because it features FKA Twigs and it's by Two Shell and it's hyperpop and it's a bit mad. So here is Talk to Me. Okay, two things happening there. Well, there's more than two things happening there. First of all, that marketing sounds like a donk. That is Two Shell featuring FKA Twigs, Talk to Me. It's really interesting in a lot of this stuff. Like, this is what happens in clubs, as I've mentioned before, since the pandemic. There's a higher BPM happening all in clubs in general. And so you're seeing this kind of play out in dance music more and more and more. Like, the faster tempos, that kind of stuff is much more obvious. Two Shell have been doing that for a while, but they generally stayed on this kind of independent underground buzz, and having FKA Twigs on it certainly is a statement of intent. What I thought was really interesting about this as well, now I only heard one or two of them, but in the hours leading up to the release of this song last week, they put out different versions of the track featuring AI assisted, like, so an AI Chris Martin singing it, Frank Ocean, Taylor Swift and Pink Panther-esque. Nope. And I was like, this is funny. I mean, it was, you can't get them. They were on their Bandcamp for like an hour or something like that, I think. Or if you want them, you have to spend loads of money or some stupid thing like that. Yeah, it's like, it's up there. Oh no, they're like, the Pink Panther-esque one is up there. The Chris Martin one is on their Bandcamp, although that's currently not for download. Anyway, they're all there.
It's funny that you say that, because listening to that, I haven't heard that song until you played it just there. Listening to that, the takeaway I got from it was that Two Shell and FKA Twigs have never met and were never in the same room and did not have the same vision for this song at all. And that this is the sound of two completely different artists with even two completely different, like sounds in the room, like the sound on the like effect or whatever on FKA Twigs' voice. Just seems completely at odds with the rest of the song. So it's funny that you say that, because I think that that's exactly what this song sounds like, and it's good to know that it's intentional. Okay. I guess
interesting. Yeah, there is a picture of the three of them for the first time. Weirdly, the picture has,
they all have six fingers in it.
No, we're not going that way. Now, one of them is wearing what looks like an Irish rugby top. So I'm like, who are these lads? Anyway, that's happening. These people are. Don't know why that's happening. But anyway, Two Shell were basically never shown their face before, and now they've shown their face. So we're like, okay, who are they?
Are they anyway, men or women, Two Shell?
Two lads. Yeah. Everyone, there was loads of rumors about who they were and all this kind of stuff, but they're probably just two lads. You know, okay. No one knows. The usual. The way it always is. It's usually two lads.
It's usually two lads.
But yeah, you have a song for us, because I've ruined my choice now. Go on.
Yeah, my last song is a song by a band called Hawk. They are an Irish band, and this song is called Expiry.
It's infectious. It's
So one of my favorite genres of music is music that I think Cat Stratford from 10 Things I Hate About You, played by Julia Stiles, would listen to. And this is this song in particular, but also I feel like she would love the band Hawk. The song in particular has that exact sort of vibe for me. I really, really like Hawk. I'm quite late coming to this band. I've absolutely no idea why, but I'm quite late coming to them. This is their second album. They're very much a feminist band. They did a really cool tour for their Drawn Together project where they played with over 50 women and non-binary artists to promote equality in the music industry. More on that within the next couple of weeks from us here at the podcast. But yeah, just a really cool sound, really nice. Like, I this isn't a disparaging thing at all. I mean this with the most love in my heart as I possibly can. Angry girl music. And I love angry girl music. And this is great angry girl music. And yeah, I love it a lot. Love this song a lot. This is from the album To Fall Asleep, which I haven't listened to kind of fully enough to talk about just yet. But I just wanted to kind of, you know, highlight that song from it as one that I really, really like. But I will be listening to more Hawk over the next week. Yeah, very that's good. Hawk.
Recent guest on No Encore as well. So you can go and listen to Julie Hawk talking about some of this album on the No Encore podcast as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to switch it up a little bit and a bit of a palate cleanser, let's say. Let's have something a bit gentler just before we wind down. Before I pick my older choice or kind of more esoteric choice. This is a band called Group Listening and the song called New Brighton. Track from Group Listening, as I said, who are a duo, Paul Jones and Stephen Black, English musicians, woodwind and key wielding, sculptural paper mache hat wearing Group Listening. That's from an album called Walks, which is out on 10th of May on Pra Records. They say draws from the field recordings of Ernest Hood, the abstraction of Harold Budd, the saxophone of Sam Gendel, and the heightened naturalism of a Martin Parr photograph. The clarity of site specificity of Japanese ambient, environmental and new age music of the 80s and 90s, and prominently Robert Walser's pseudo-biographic novella The Walk, an appreciation of the philosophical space gifted by walks to walkers. Now, I think I've turned it all around now in terms of going from hyper-pop to hyper-calm, and now I'm going to ruin it again by picking my last choice, because I wanted to include this because we obviously did a podcast and listening party about Laurie Anderson recently and Big Science, and I bought a record the day that arrived, the day after we did the listen party, so I never got to play it, but I did get to play it at this edit at a recent Lumo and Paddy's Day in the Circular. So
just to be clear, Niall, is this your golden oldie?
Yeah, it's kind of a golden oldie because it's two very old songs put together. So okay, what you're going to hear now is Oh Superman mixed into another track. You tell me if you recognize it when we get back. And here's a bit of this. It's from Gallery or Art. The label is called Art. It's because it's an edit. It's very hard to track down. Unknown Baby Baby Please is what this is actually called. This is playing off YouTube because I have the record and it's not available digitally. So this is that track.
Your love right now.
So yeah, that is Unknown, Baby Baby Please. Art 001 is the label itself, and yeah, that is an addendum, I guess, to our recent Laurie Anderson Oh Superman Big Science episode. A track that I remember I played the kind of Italo Disco version. That's kind of building on the Italo Disco version and building an edit with Thelma Houston's "Don't Leave Me This Way." So yeah. That is it from me, from Choices, anyway, this month. Anything else you'd like to talk about, Andrea, while we casually hold our microphones and lean back into our seats?
I have a golden oldie.
Oh.
You can just press play.
Hey,
that's my golden oldie, and I'll tell you why.
For the girlies.
We love girls. Basically, maybe about a month ago, I listened to an old episode of Sentimental Garbage that I somehow kind of missed, which was about the song Girls Just Want to Have Fun with the guest Tom McInnes, I think is how you'd pronounce his surname, in which they just talk about Girls Just Want to Have Fun for the entire episode, just talk about this one song. And it is honestly one of the best podcast episodes I've ever heard. And it's a really, really, really sweet kind of just like love bomb for this song and what it is. Alongside this, this song is also currently being used in two ads, one for AXA, in which it's a kind of a slowed down version, and one for Marks and Spencer's, in which it's the normal Cyndi Lauper version. And all of this happening at once has just kind of caused me to go back and listen to this song kind of like, and try to hear it anew, try to listen to it as though I was listening to it for the first time. And it really is just one of the best songs ever written, pop or otherwise. I truly, truly, truly love this song, and I've been listening to it like quite a lot recently. So I that's why I have chosen that as my golden oldie. And I recommend that episode of Sentimental Garbage and that entire podcast more generally. But yeah, just wanted to give Cyndi her flowers for a song that she is like very much associated with, but people kind of I don't know, people take this song for granted, do you know? Like it's like, oh, Cyndi Lauper, yeah, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, but she's got other songs too. It's like, yeah, she has other songs too, but also this is a very good song, so let's give it that. But yeah, anything else song that you have been, any other
say,
business
now? We did have a discussion last night, sorry. Yeah, well, any other businesses, we had a brief discussion last night about BDS. AXA is on the BDS list, so please don't buy your insurance from AXA. Thanks. That's it.
Don't buy your insurance from AXA. And also, they use slowdown versions of pop cover songs. And if you listen to Fionnuala's
The most heinous crime of all,
Flop Culture episode about that very thing, that is also a very good episode. But yeah, we are not affiliated with anyone here. Anyway, what else has been consuming us? I have one.
Yeah, go ahead. I don't have much at all. So
I have can't remember a anything. Television show. I watched Three Body Problem on Netflix, and I thought it was really, really good. Good, fun, sci-fi.
I've actually
based
seen it.
On. Okay. Do you want to take it then? Because I'm just going to agree with you.
Yeah, it's the makers, the creators of Game of Thrones, who basically have a sort of a... I thought it was going to be a limited series at first, but it's not. I've watched them all now, and it's certainly a new season going to come after that. It's based on some books, Chinese books, is that right? It seems to be mostly Chinese-based. Yeah, essentially, when I started watching it, I didn't know what I was going to be watching. It's about scientists, and they're all having crises about science. Not work. Suddenly, science stops working in the world, and it's about how that happens, and it involves VR headsets and games and outer space and what may come from outer space. So, I've actually really enjoyed it. I've been really enjoying sci-fi at the moment. Mm. Just between Dune and whatever else, I'm just like, I'm into it. I watched Foundation. Have you seen Foundation? The It's a very ambitious sci-fi drama series that I think it's done 2 seasons now. It's probably going to be a third. It's very good. But again, based on really heavy, like dense books that are like, nobody can film this. And then the other one I watched was Silo, which Rebecca Ferguson's in. Obviously, Rebecca Ferguson's in Dune as well.
And in All of Our Hearts.
And in All of Our Hearts, yeah. Silo is about all these people that live underground and they're in this silo and they don't know what's outside the silo, and they say they're being told it's radioactive out there. And it was when my son was born in December, I had a lot of early mornings and late nights where we were just like, can't do anything, let's just watch some weird sci-fi. So that's what I did. So I've been watching a lot of that kind of stuff lately. I've been really enjoying it. And Tree Body Problem is another one. I mean, what did you think of it?
I really, really liked it. I loved all the concepts. If there was bits in it that I wasn't too crazy about, there was always another bit that we go to. Like, so I loved all of the timeline that's kind of set in during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. That's a really interesting, area of history that I actually don't know very much about, and I'm going to learn more about after it's inspired me to go and kind of learn more about that period of history. And when I say bits that I'm not that interested in, I mean basically any time that Isa Gonzalez is on screen, because I do not think that she can act. She certainly can't act like she's smoking, and she just basically stares with the same expression on her face for the entire show. So anybody who gives the first episode a go and finds her difficult to kind of like, attach yourself to emotionally.
Sorry, which character is that?
She plays Augie. She's the one with the countdown.
She's not so good,
and it's fine. It's
traditionally symmetrically beautiful that you're just like,
oh, she's like the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life, and that's and that's fine. But I couldn't care less what happens to her character, which is a shame. But you've got other amazing performances throughout it, not least from Liam Cunningham, who gets to say the word cunt like 3 times on Netflix, which is fantastic. He's brilliant in it. He's so funny. He kind of reminds me of like they took him out of like a character. They took a character out of like Line of Duty and put him in this like Netflix sci-fi series. Really, really great. And I loved any moment where the two of them were in the VR headset sort of game thing, where they're like, trying to figure out the puzzle and trying to figure out all the problems and what's going on with the world. Loved all of that. So yeah, I thought it was a really, really successful series. I'm definitely going to go and read the book series. I heard that the second series is confirmed, and that the first series is the first book, the second series will be the second book, and then the third series and fourth series will be the third book. So it's the Three Body Problem is a trilogy of books, but it'll be 4 series, as is kind of standard with a lot of science fiction and fantasy films, certainly.
Yeah,
I really, really liked it. I also really enjoyed Dune too. I went to see that on the night of the Choice Prize. It was just really, really fun. I liked it more than the first one. I really enjoyed basically all of the performances. And I always forget that Timothée Chalamet is not just a cultural figure and is actually like quite a good actor until I watch him acting. And then I'm like, oh yes, he's also very talented. So yeah, I like Dune a lot. Big worms, sword fight, I don't need much more. I don't need to, understand the complexities of this world very well. I just sort of need to watch some people running around on the sand and doing their funny walk. And then the big worm comes, then the fight comes, and then here's Elvis and he's bald, and it's great. Yeah, it's really, really fun. But that's basically all the stuff that I've been, the stuff that isn't Married at First Sight Australia. For the Discord crew, the new series of Taskmaster starts tonight, and one of my favorite, public figures, John Robbins, is on it, and he's been wanting to be on it for years. So I'm very, very, very excited to see how he gets on. And our very own Joanne McNally is also a contestant on it this season as well. So a lot coming up.
Great. Lots to discover. What else? Oh, I watched Irish Wish last week.
Oh my God, I'm dying to watch it. I cannot wait. I'm going to watch it over the weekend. I saw the clip where Lindsay Lohan is standing on top of a cliff and saying, I feel like I'm in a James Joyce novel. Joyce is my favorite author. Yeah. And I was like, bitch, what novel, first of all, what James Joyce novel are you in right now? Because they're all set in schools or like, you know, dark alleyways in Dublin.
Oh, it's so bad. And it's so bad.
Joyce is nobody's favorite author. Not a single person in the world is James Joyce their favorite. Even people who have dedicated their lives to studying James Joyce will not say that he is their favorite author. And it's certainly not yours, Lindsay Lohan. I mean,
it's a flagrant lie. I will give you that.
It's so funny.
So let that one pass, because it is a very engaging, silly little film. I will say that. Usually I turn these films off after, you know, I don't last the whole film, but I actually watch the whole thing. And it got me in because literally it was out. The first scene is supposed to be in the meatpacking district in New York, and it's literally the back of the Workman's. And I was like, this is gas. Look at it's the back of the Clarence. Look at the Clarence.
That's amazing.
There's Connolly Books.
That's amazing.
There's Project Art Center. And I was like, oh, this is so funny.
Oh, that's incredible.
So I was just like, part of me was just like, do you know, you kind of watch these films sometimes, just be like, am I going to recognize somebody in this?
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to be in it?
Yeah.
Who's going to be in it?
The thing about it is, it's very upsetting to me because Harry doesn't enjoy watching bad films. It's like the big major difference that we have in our relationship is that I love a flop and I love a bad film. I'll happily sit down and watch Leap Year or P.S. I Love You for the same reasons that people are watching.
Yeah, totally.
And he's like, but we could just watch a good film. And I'm like, that's not the same thing. So I'll have to carve out some time over the weekend where I will watch it myself. But I won't put him through it.
Certainly. It's silly. It's obviously silly. You know this. You know what it's going to be like, but doesn't make it any...
Will it be like in Leap Year where they do a road trip from, I think it's Cork to Dublin, and it takes them 3 days?
She does lose her baggage at Knock Airport, which seems very hard to do because there's only one baggage claim. Like, really. And then she gets a bus, an old-fashioned bus that drops her to her love interest's massive English-looking mansion, which is actually Kilruddery House. And there's another one. I think it's Paris Court maybe as well. So anyway, they live there. So that's handy. That's pretty nice. And all the family are English, which is, you know, kind of tracks as well. A lot of there's a lot of Obi Gara.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Let me read insane. You something.
St. Bridget. You'll never think about St. Bridget the same way again.
Okay. I'm going to read you something, a review, I think maybe on Amazon, that my sister-in-law sent me. My sister-in-law watched this the other day. She is English. So this is a review that she read after watching the film. The review is by a person named Amy Nicky. All caps. Great film. Seriously, it's time Ireland really show people living outside of Ireland how beautiful Ireland is. Ireland could make huge profit from their tourism. If Iceland can make tourism from volcano, then what is Ireland doing? Irish seas are stunning. Their green is stunning. Their music is stunning. Their dance is stunning. Their Celtic culture is beautiful. Their Irish names are stunning. The movie is great. I thought it really showed how Irish people are a little noisy. It's so annoying, like they're so damn noisy and also super kind. Humors, though their jokes make no sense, believe me. Just pretend to laugh because no one really gets their joke. Never state you don't get their joke because they don't like honesty. I'm not sure why. They actually prefer kind lie. They're simple, kind, sweet, and nice people. So it really showed that. Though religion isn't big anymore in Ireland, their faith is important to them, which is nice to see. The film was brilliant. Also, acting was really good and funny, and it showed that. I'm not sure why people are complaining. This film was really good. Only think so far Netflix can produce. Also, did anyone notice anything from this film? It's not what you want. It's what you need. Very good key point to make. Very great film. Seriously, Ireland needs to boost their tourism. Their culture is stunning. So thank you, Amy Nicky.
How many times is the word stunning in there?
I don't know, but 71 people found that review helpful.
Wow.
Thank you, Amy Nicky.
We are all in trouble. The AI is going to take over.
I don't know
it
what
already
it is.
Has. I mean, Irish Wish is like a film written by AI anyway, so yeah. It makes sense that the review would sound like it's AI as well.
Yeah, there's too many grammar. So, I corrected a lot of grammar there in my reading of it because I can't not do that. Too many mistakes.
And we thank you for it.
Yeah,
and we
you're thank welcome. You for it. Anyway, that's it for us. From the 99 yeah. podcast this week, I believe.
That's it for this week, yeah, for sure. Casually holding the mic here. I won't mic drop because I only have to pick it up because that's responsibility. Okay, what am I talking about?
The Discord Nothing. And the Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/99. We may be talking about moving some of our episodes into Patreon only to make it worthwhile for us and for hopefully for you. Look. That's a short way of saying we need your support to keep this whole thing going. It costs money to do this shit, unfortunately. So
that's right. Costs money, not makes yeah. money. So please do support yeah. us if you can.
But yeah, I mean, we love doing it. It's fun. And I know you all appreciate it as well if you listen regularly, as the people who have got in touch over the years have said so. So it is the 99 podcast, patreon.com/99. You know what, all the usual stuff. It's all in the show notes. All the things you can find us doing. I'm going to plug Lumo, which is going to be on April 6th. And for the first time ever, it's in terms of its late night, regular nightclub buzz, it's going to be on the Workman's Cellar on April 6th. So I think there's a Flight of Gapes gig that night. So we'll
perfect.
Be nearby if you're going to that.
Oh my God.
So
ideal.
That's potential. If you're around. So after that gig, come around to us in the Workman's Cellar. And if you're not going to that gig, you should come around to us in the Workman's Cellar. So lumoclub.eventbrite.com for tickets for that, the Fiverr plus VAT, all that usual business. But yeah, from a Fiverr plus VAT, you can sign up to our Patreon and get access to our Discord. It's nice to see a lot of the Discord crew out recently, hanging out together and seeing them at the Paddy's Day event and last night as well. So lovely. Look, if you're looking for a music community that is based in Ireland and Dublin specifically, usually. Although not, there's people from Cork as well, for sure. And we need more Cork contingent. We need a Cork meetup, lads. Mm. We need a Cork meetup. So
Mike,
if you're from Cork and you listen to the, yeah, if you listen to the podcast, patreon.com, sign up to the Discord, say hello to the lads. There's loads of people there. There's lots of coffee nerds. I'm surprised by the level of coffee nerdiness sometimes. Same way I'm surprised by the level of Taskmaster nerdiness. Yeah. But we are a multifaceted group of people. We love music and we love film and we love books and we love coffee. All sorts. Coffee and all sorts.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's it.
Goodbye.
Okay. I'm being given the signal now. They're playing me off. Okay. I have to go.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.